Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Voters 50 and over have the power to decide elections, so candidates who want to win need to talk about the issues they care about. Learn more from our latest polling in Georgia at aarp.org/GA polling.
This is CNN Breaking News.
Welcome to Inside Politics. I'm Dana Bash, live from Milwaukee, where the Republican National Convention is about to kick off. A different event than the former president says he and his party planned since he narrowly escaped assassination this weekend. We're going to start with another unexpected twist here. Huge breaking news out of Florida. Judge Aileen Cannon dismissed the classified documents case against the former president. She says special counsel Jack Smith's appointment was unconstitutional, making the entire prosecution invalid. CNN's Caitlin Polance is tracking all of the developments. Caitlin, you have gone through her decision. Wow.
Wow, and the timing. But it's a 93-page opinion, something Judge Aileen Cannon has likely been working on for quite some time. She's dismissing, closing the case against Donald Trump in the Southern District of Florida in federal court, one that was charged a year ago against him for mishandling more than 30 classified or national security records after his presidency, and then obstructing the Justice Department's attempts to get them back under control because of how sensitive they were. Dana, this is a decision not about the allegations in the case at all. It is a decision where Judge Cannon says the Justice Department, the executive branch, didn't have the power to bring in special counsel Jack Smith as a prosecutor here, that it's not constitutional for him to charge this case or to have his office funded by money in the U.S. Treasury. She says in her ruling today, in the end, there does appear to be a tradition of appointing a special attorney-like figures in moments of political scandal throughout the country's history, but very few, if any, of these figures actually resemble the position of Special Counsel Smith. Mr. Smith is a private citizen exercising the full power of a United States attorney and with very little oversight or supervision. So that is Judge Cannon's decision on why Jack Smith cannot go forward with this prosecution. It's now going to be an uphill battle for the special counsel's office if and when they are very likely to choose to appeal. We haven't heard from the Justice Department in response to this yet, but Dana, there are implications not just for this criminal case against Donald Trump that is now closed in court. There are very likely implications that the special counsel's office will have to grapple with in that other federal criminal case that's still pending in Washington, D.C. related to the 2020 election. Dana?
So many implications of this monumental decision. Caitlin, thank you so much. No surprise, President Trump, the former president, is applauding the decision. In a post on Truth Social, he connected it to the weekend attempt on his life. As we move forward in uniting our nation after the horrific events on Saturday, this dismissal of the lawless indictment in Florida should be just the first step. He goes on to attack other cases against him and accuse President Biden of overseeing them. To be clear, there is no evidence of that. Eli Honig is former assistant U.S. attorney and senior legal analyst here at CNN. Bill Brennan is former attorney for Donald Trump. Eli, I'm going to start with you. I mean, we have seen over the past three decades, special counsels, there have been judges who have been asked about, and this the idea of a special counsel has been challenged. Judges have upheld it. Judge Cannon clearly disagrees. Can you explain?
Yeah, Dana, so this was a long shot argument by Donald Trump, but sometimes long shots come in. The argument essentially that Donald Trump made that Judge Cannon has now agreed with is that if somebody is going to be given the powers of a federal prosecutor like Jack Smith has been given, That person needs to be either nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate, as you would see with a U.S. attorney, for example, or Congress needs to pass a specific law saying we hereby create this position. Neither of those things happened. Therefore, Judge Cannon ruled this is unconstitutional. Now, other special counsels have been challenged. The special counsel in the Hunter Biden case that was rejected by a different district court judge. Robert Mueller was challenged in the same way. That was rejected by a different district court judge. So this will absolutely go up the appeals chain, Dana. I'm sure Jack Smith will appeal this to the 11th Circuit. We might well end up in the U.S. Supreme Court here.
Yeah, and Bill, this is a position that Clarence Thomas, for example, has taken recently that he doesn't think it is constitutional. I remember when I first started covering Washington, there was an independent counsel law that lapsed during the Whitewater investigation. And now a special counsel does have to be appointed by the attorney general. How do you see this playing out now? And obviously, just give your reaction to this stunning news.
Well, good afternoon, Dana. Thanks for having me. I agree with Ellie. It's a landmark decision. If it holds up, the judge said that it was a violation of the Appointments Clause of the Constitution when Attorney General Merrick Garland appointed Mr. Smith in 2022. She also said that the funding was improper. There apparently was a fund set up in the 1980s, and that's how it's been funded. So it's a two-prong basis that she made her ruling on. I think, Dana, you're right that certainly the comments made by Justice Thomas had to play into this. You know, when a Supreme Court justice opines in such a manner, I'm sure it had an effect on the district court. But this could, if this stands up, this could have ripple effects. It could cause a reexamination in the Hunter Biden case and all the special counsel cases. And as you accurately pointed out, the Whitewater matter where there was independent counsel and Judge Starr was appointed, led to some changes, but this will be very interesting to see what happens in the 11th Circuit, which will certainly be appealed.
And real quick, Ellie, that's such a good point. And frankly, I didn't even think of it until Bill just brought it up. I mean, there is a special counsel for Hunter Biden. He was just convicted. I mean, does this mean that that would be overturned or maybe not until and unless this is decided by the Supreme Court?
Well, Dan, I guarantee you Abby Lowell, who's Hunter Biden's lawyer, is probably at his computer right now drafting motions both in the Delaware gun case where Hunter Biden was convicted and in the California tax case, which is coming up for trial in September, saying, hey, we have a new ruling. Judge down in Florida says this is all unconstitutional. You judges need to do the same. And again, they're teeing it up for appeals court review. It's going to go through the system. By the way, Whitewater and Kenneth Starr are a great example that Judge Cannon cites. She says that was the right way to do it. There was a specific law passed by Congress saying you can have this kind of independent counsel. As you said, that law has since expired. So there's an interesting historical context here as well.
All right, Ellie and Bill, thank you so much for giving us your expertise on all of this. I want to now talk about the politics. CNN's Kristen Holmes is talking to the Trump campaign. Kristen, what are you hearing from your sources?
Well, Dana, they're absolutely thrilled. You have to remember, this is actually the best case scenario for them. They did not expect the case to be completely thrown out, but now that it has, they are celebrating. And there's a number of reasons for that. First, the case itself. It has long been believed by Donald Trump's inner circle and particularly legal advisors that this was the most significant case that was brought against the former president. There was a lot of evidence. There were photos, and there was even a recording of Donald Trump acknowledging that he knew he had classified documents and that he wasn't supposed to show them to people. This was, in their mind, a pretty solid case. So now the idea that it's been dismissed, yes, it is likely to be appealed, but the fact that it has been dismissed is obviously a huge win. But there's another reason they believe that this is a win. We are hearing the same argument we heard when the Supreme Court ruled on immunity, that they believe this shows, quote unquote, shows that this is a political process, that this is political persecution. It adds to their argument that even the courts believe that this shouldn't have happened. Remember, one of the things in Judge Eileen Cannon's ruling says that it is unconstitutional to have this special prosecutor, Jack Smith. That is something that Donald Trump's team has long said and now will continue to point to. And as you noted, Dana, we don't have any evidence at all linking President Joe Biden to any of these legal issues. And in fact, two of the cases that were brought against him were not even brought by the federal justice system. But they believe that it strengthens their argument that this is all political, Dana.
Kristen, thank you so much for that. I want to now turn to a fantastic group of reporters here, CNN's David Chalian, CNN and Bloomberg's Nia Malika Henderson, CNN's Jeff Zeleny, CNN's Manu Raju, and CNN's Caitlin Collins, all my friends and colleagues. I hit the jackpot today. Not only do you have big brains, but you have big Rolodexes. You know
the
what
whole
that
payroll is here.
David Chalian, I'm going to start with you to help us put, we're going to talk about, obviously, the horrific events of the weekend, but first the events of an hour ago. Put it in context.
I mean, just that, the way you framed that question is the story of this campaign, right? We'll get to the massive story after we deal with the massive story in front of us. That's sort of been how this campaign has been unfolding. But we find ourselves at the opening of this convention where Donald Trump is going to, for the third consecutive presidential cycle, be named his party standard bearer. And in this moment of having just survived an assassination attempt and now being totally vindicated by, I understand, a district level judge here in one of his key arguments, one of the two federal cases against him now thrown out. It'll go on appeal. Obviously, Judge Cannon has been offering opinions that have been quite favorable to Donald Trump, who appointed her to the district court, and I imagine maybe on a short list for other appointments should he become president. But you can't paint, given that the former president is okay from the attack from the shooting on the weekend, you can't paint a better picture for Donald Trump to walk into this environment. It will be a hero's welcome on this convention floor like we've never seen for a nominee before.
No, I think that's exactly right. I mean, he couldn't have scripted it any better. You know, Donald Trump has been a lucky politician in so many ways, and here he is on the cusp of being nominated. You're going to expect a very rapturous embrace of this president. You can feel the electricity around Milwaukee with the folks who've come who are delegates and really worship this president. He is at his apex, and we're going to see some of that tonight. Obviously, he's going to roll out the VP at some point. We'll see who that is. But the star of this show in so many ways is going to be Donald Trump. And these stories just add to it.
I want to get both of your reactions to something that Matt Gaetz tweeted like seconds after Judge Eileen Cannon, who, as you rightly mentioned, was appointed by Donald Trump. It says future Supreme Court Justice Cannon.
I mean, look, to David's point, she may have something bigger waiting for her should Donald Trump be elected. We will see about that, obviously, 113 days before the election. But I am struck by how different this moment is for Donald Trump. As David was saying, it's his third convention being nominated, but it's different in every way. He owns this Republican Party. We've known that. But what I'm watching for as the day goes on, and I think this ruling provides sort of a pathway to that, is can he pivot and sort of win over now some voters who may not be with him necessarily, who may be still uneasy about him. We know that his base supports him tremendously, but I think the decision to invite Nikki Haley to give a speech on Tuesday night right here is a big signal, because Nikki Haley, of course, was winning those primary voters, many of them right here in Wisconsin, right here in
Which is such a critical state.
Around Milwaukee. And her message of unity, I think, is something. We will see if the Trump orbit keeps this unity theme alive. That's a big challenge for them. But this is a new opportunity for him as well.
I mean, we are seeing Trump at the height of his political power, probably really a high point in his political career that we have seen since he came onto the public sphere. It's hard to think of a different time. This Republican Party is absolutely united behind him before we have, like we have not seen, because his critics have gone away, they've been pushed aside, they've lost elections, and the people that here are all behind him. Just look at just the last few months of how, you know, Nia said lucky. Some people could say lucky. He very favorable court rulings. The immunity case and the Supreme Court case, essentially killing his federal election subversion case. What happened in the Fulton County case, the Fani Willis conduct, her handling of that. Now that's tied up in court. That is not going to go before the jury before November. Now what happened to the classified documents case? On so many levels, things are bouncing Trump's way at a key moment. The question is, can he capitalize on it, or will anything change for in the next 100 days?
Caitlin, you have done, let's get back to the actual case that was dismissed by Judge Cannon this morning. You've done extensive reporting, including talk to somebody who, a Trump employee, who was very much a part of the case that the special counsel was building against him.
Yeah, I mean, Caitlin Pollens, Paula Reed, and I have broken so much reporting on this story, and I think what's important to remember is that what Judge Cannon has done here has nothing to do with the merits of this case. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. And that's why the people who are most shocked of all are Trump's attorneys on this right now. No one was expecting this decision. This was seen as a far-flung effort of theirs to try to challenge Jack Smith's appointment. We just heard from Merrick Garland last month, who said that he had no issues with his appointment, no regrets picking him, and did believe it was a sound decision because it has been upheld for 30 years, mm-hmm. ever since Watergate. Everyone, they tried to challenge the premise of a special counsel there, and it was maintained. This is not just changing Jack Smith's appointment. This is going to have, if it lasts, an effect and impact for decades. And I think what's at the heart of this case, Kristen Holmes was referencing, there is audio that we obtained of Trump bragging about having classified documents and acknowledging the fact that because he was no longer president, he could not declassify them. They had that out. That is evidence that would have been obviously used inside court. There are Evan Corcoran, his attorney's notes that a judge in D.C. let them shield attorney-client privilege so they could look at them. And then, of course, there is Brian Butler. He was employee number five. He is a key witness in the classified documents case, who was criticized for coming forward and speaking with me earlier this year. But he did so in part because of what is happening right now, a fear that this case would never see the light of day. And I just want everyone to remember what he said about what he witnessed about these boxes at Mar-a-Lago.
Did the two of you ever talk about moving boxes or looking back on that?
Yeah, I mean, there was one time towards one of the last times I was with them, and we're talking about, you know, boxes and, you know, well, Biden did the same thing. It always got brought up about Biden and other people that did the same thing. And then there was one time he said, you know, we're all dirty. We all move boxes. And I said, well, look, I didn't even know what I was moving until I was at the plane. And that's when I remember moving boxes.
He unwittingly was helping move boxes, not knowing what it was. He was talking there about how one of his best friends was now Trump's co-defendant in this case, Walt, and talking about what that looked like in Carlos de Oliveira, and just the impact this has had on real people's lives. But now Brian Butler, who would have expected to be on the witness stand, mm-hmm. may never go to court. I mean, we don't know. Obviously, DOJ will appeal here, but the path forward is far from clear on this.
Yeah, I think what you said at the beginning there is something that we have to emphasize and underscore and highlight, that this is not about the substance of the case. This is a technicality. And that's why this is being dismissed, which is why it's definitely not over. Don't go anywhere. Coming up, the 2024 campaign is transformed by an attempt on the life of Donald Trump. We are live here at the Republican National Convention, where we could see the former president as soon as this afternoon. An announcement of his running mate could come at any moment. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
They say opposites attract. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is the best bed for couples. You can each choose what's right for you whenever you like. You like a bed that feels firm but they want soft? Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm? Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's for both of you, only at a Sleep Number store. 9 out of 10 couples say that they sleep better on a Sleep Number Smart Bed. Only Sleep Number Smart Bed lets you choose your ideal comfort and support your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number smart beds automatically respond and adjust to your movements so that you sleep comfortably all night long. Beat the summer heat. Temperature balancing bedding, like TrueTemp bedding, is designed to move heat and humidity away so you sleep just right. Can't agree on temperature? The Sleep Number Climate 360 smart bed lets you adjust up to 30 degrees cooler or warmer on either side, so you can be polar opposites in the same bed. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back. We are live in Milwaukee, just hours away from Republicans making it official that Donald Trump is their presidential nominee for the third time in a row. This afternoon, the former president could make his first public appearance since being rushed off stage after an assassination attempt that, believe it or not, was less than 48 hours ago. Reflecting on that harrowing moment, he told the Washington Examiner, quote, "I'm supposed to be dead. I'm not supposed to be here." My panel is back with me. I just want to read a little bit more of what he told the Examiner. He said, and as we're looking ahead to what we're going to see here on the floor behind us, "I basically had a speech that was an unbelievable rip-roarer. It was brutal, really good, really tough. Last night I threw it out. I think it would have been bad if I got up and started going wild about how horrible everybody is and how corrupt and crooked, even if it's true. Now we have a speech that is more unifying."
Look, I mean, that is really framing the moment there. And again, I think we will have to see how he obviously leads the charge for unification. And does it, A, extend to the four nights of the convention, and B, does it extend to the next 113 odd days of the campaign? But walking through the convention hall here, which is Trump branded in every way, shape, and form, I'm struck by a quote that he said before that's in very large letters out here. It says, "They're not after me, they're after you. I'm just standing in the way." And he has used that phrase so many times to talk about retribution, but boy, does that hit differently when we're talking about the attempted assassination. So on the minds of delegates here, they believed he was a hero coming in, and now it is magnified to the nth degree here. But again, what is he going to do beyond the convention?
Such an important point.
And listen, his words after the attempted assassination were fight, 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 right? And that is what his followers and the people who believe in him, that's what they expect from him, right? A fight against someone, right? They have felt like have been out to get him. So listen, I do think he is trying for this sort of, Saul to Paul conversion, which is in some ways wrapped in sort of this sort of biblical imagery, which I think will play well with some of the folks in the audience. But it seems, we know Donald Trump, the idea that he thinks in this way and that he's a unifier is a bit of a stretch.
Caitlin, what are you hearing from Trump sources about how long this is likely to last?
Well, I think it depends on who ultimately wins out. We will obviously hear different messages from different surrogates. I mean, if you look at who's expected to speak this week, you can guess what kind of messages are going to come from whom. But it is Trump. And what that quote, essentially, that he gave to the Examiner and to the Washington Post is what he's been hearing from advisors, is to take advantage of this moment. And that they're talking about it in political terms. Obviously, they were still reeling from, and still are, from what happened on Saturday night. But they're also looking at how to take advantage of this situation and how it can best benefit him when it comes to something that he's struggled to do ever since he was first elected to office, which is to expand his base. Inviting Nikki Haley is probably the clearest sign of that. I mean, Nikki Haley said that Donald Trump was diminished, unhinged, obviously when she was challenging him for the Republican nomination, and she has since said she'll be voting for him. But I think it speaks to the moment of how they are going to try to capitalize on this. He has a lot of politically savvy people around him.
Yes, he also has people, and you alluded to this, Caitlin, who are slated to speak behind us who don't always get on board. Let's just look at some. Tucker Carlson, Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Rick Grenell, who's one of his former ambassadors, Congressman Ronny Jackson, Charlie Kirk, Carrie Lake.
I mean, look, that's the challenge, right? Because we've been in this moment since, it's been two days since the assassination attempt. Things have tamped down. The rhetoric has tamped down. Ads have been pulled from the airwaves and the like. This is a political convention where red meat is thrown to the base, where Trump is a base politician. He has been since day one. He has not been someone who has pivoted to the center, has moderated his tone in any way. So this will be a huge test for him, but for the rest of the convention speakers as well. At what point do they start to go after the president in very sharp terms? They start to blame him for in some way for anything that happened over the weekend, in which we've seen even J.D. Vance, who could be the vice presidential pick, said over the weekend that Biden's rhetoric contributed to this without any evidence about what the shooter's motive was. At so will other people echo that line as well, and will that change the complexion?
Even in this moment, you read his additional quotes there. He says, it didn't feel right to talk about how crooked people are, even if it's true. Mm-hmm. His response to the Florida ruling that you read at the top, you noted, it went on to attack the Biden Justice Department for coming after him. So let's not imagine that this 78-year-old man who we've all observed for a long time in national politics is somehow going to be a totally different person. But let's not also discount that, A, the personal experience of being a target of an assassination attempt, and to Caitlin's point, this political team advising him that there is a potential big upside moment for them to take advantage of politically. Those two things can be true too, but we also know what his core instincts are in political battle.
I mean, I think this last line of his social media post about the decision to throw out the case, it kind of sums it up. Let us come together to end all weaponization of our justice system and make America great again. I mean, that line is the paradox, everything that you just described all in one.
Well, he said both. Thing,
it's strength. I mean, if this campaign's about strength or weakness, this is one more example of his strength.
Right, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you all so much. Great to see you. Up next, both presidential candidates are calling for unity. But as we've been just talking about, how long will it last? Former governor of this state, Scott Walker, and former Obama advisor David Axelrod will be here next. Welcome back to Inside Politics. We are live from Milwaukee. I'm here with the former governor of this state, the great state of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, and former senior advisor to President Obama, David Axelrod. Hello. Nice to see you both.
Hello.
I do want to start with some unusually similar messaging that we've heard in the last 24 hours from the current president, Joe Biden, and the man who wants to be president again, Donald Trump. First, let's listen to some of President Biden's Oval Office address last night.
Let's remember, here in America, while unity is the most elusive of all goals right now, nothing is more important for us now than standing together. We can do this.
Now, Donald Trump to the New York Post, I want to try to unite our country, but I don't know if that's possible. People are very divided. Scott Walker.
I hope he does. I mean, I think Nikki Haley being here, obviously Ron DeSantis is already going to be here. I think Melania Trump, the former First Lady's comments were definitely on point on unity. You know, it's one of these moments. I remember the other night when the president nearly faced the bullet of an assassin. I thought back to my time as a kid when Ronald Reagan was shot and how the nation came together and how he viewed that as part of the divine plan and took off from there. I hope that's the kind of moment that Donald Trump has, not just in the campaign, but should he be president, he looks at that as one of those turning points in his time in public life.
It pains me that Scott Walker was a kid when he got shot, but we can move on from that. Listen, I think that they're both saying the right thing. The question is whether the president and this convention reflect that message, because it's not been his message. I mean, let's be honest about it. He has, you know, we think of January 6th, we think of the Pelosi incident and so on. He has not been an apostle of peace and love and politics throughout. So this is a new message for him. Scott Walker dominated the politics of this state for a decade, and he did it because he understood how to win those suburban areas around Milwaukee. And those are the voters who have in some measure drifted away from Donald Trump and drifted away from the Republican Party. If this convention wants to win those votes and this state, then he will echo that message and the other speakers will echo that message. If they go to the classic MAGA messaging, then this becomes a more competitive situation.
So, Governor, on that note, if the former president handed you his pen and gave you his legal pad and said, write down what I should say, what would it be?
Well, I think he needs to, clearly he's a fighter. He won in 16 because people viewed him as a fighter for them. In 2020, I think, to your point, David, some of those folks moved away because they thought he was fighting for the sake of fighting. He shows he's fighting for a greater America, fighting to bring people back together, fighting to make life more affordable, more secure, more safe. Those are things that definitely are a uniting message. And so I think it's not, he doesn't have to make a major shift, but I think to your point, David, he has to focus on those things and not on some of the other things. It's the red meat the delegates want to hear, but rather the people in Brookfield and Ozaukee and other places across this state and other states like this that will sway those voters who are up for grabs.
You as a politician and you as somebody who advised politicians, imagery, iconic imagery in particular, is hard to come by. And we want to just put this picture up taken by, I believe that's the one taken by my friend Doug Mills of the New York Times. You mentioned fight. And I said this the night of the shooting, the fact that he fought his Secret Service and with the microphone still on, stood up and with the blood on his face said, fight, fight, fight. Understanding innately the imagery here. Peggy Noonan, who worked for Ronald Reagan, went to the Michael Deaver School of Imagery. If folks out there who don't know who that is, Google it. You need to. She said it was epic. Whatever you feel about him, whatever you stand, grant him one of the great gangsta moves of American political history.
It was like that moment when George W. Bush threw the first pitch out during the World Series and nailed a fastball. And I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican, I still get chills talking about it. America was like, we're back.
Yeah.
We're on top of things. And that was definitely one of those moments.
I want you to come in, but I want to give credit where credit is due.
That wasn't Doug Mills.
That was, yes. He took a lot of fantastic, that was Evan Mucci.
He caught the bullet, but he didn't. Listen, I have deep, deep, profound concerns about Donald Trump, and I've expressed them again and again. What you cannot take away from him is that he is a world-class genius at marketing. And the fact that the two things that he had to think about in that moment was, am I breathing and where is the hero shot, is really reflective of who he is. He is 100%. A brilliant, brilliant marketer, particularly of himself. But that photo will obviously live forever, and it will be the, I'm sure it's on every T-shirt that's being sold here now.
He's a fighter, and just his instinct, the raw instinct, was to get up and fight back, literally in this time when he was under attack, figuratively most of the time. But I think, again, the key coming out of this convention is we have to show as Republicans that he's a fighter for everyday Americans, for the people who are forgotten by the politicians in Washington. If that's the imagery, he wins, much like, as you mentioned, we had to do in Wisconsin to make the case, we're fighting for you.
Look, his message for 2 years is, I'm strong, Biden is weak. That photo is everything he wants to communicate in one picture.
Well, and he has said in one of the interviews that he has given since that he remembered in that moment the images of people being moved out, as the Secret Service understandably wants to do, and he thought that that looked weak, and he didn't want that that to be the lasting image. Thank you so much.
Good to be with you, Dan.
Thanks. Thanks for being for welcoming us here to your home state.
We're glad to have you all here.
We'll talk
later. See you later.
Yeah. Even David, we're glad to have you as a Midwesterner.
I appreciate that.
Coming up, a changed race, new reporting on how the Biden campaign will move forward in the coming weeks. Stay with us.
They say opposites attract. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is the best bed for couples. You can each choose what's right for you whenever you like. You like a bed that feels firm, but they want soft? Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm? Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's for both of you, only at a Sleep Number store. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Comedy is coming to CNN. What could go wrong? Have I Got News for You? A comedy quiz show hosted by Roy Wood Jr. with Amber Ruffin and Michael Ian Black. Premieres Saturday, September 14th at 9 on CNN.
We're getting new details today about how some Democrats are hoping that the horrific events over the weekend might shake things up for the Biden campaign. Biden is appealing for unity rather than leveling new attacks. The campaign has paused TV ads, and the president postponed a trip to Texas today. CNN's MJ Lee joins us live from the White House with new reporting. I mean, MJ, it's a very delicate thing to even suggest that an assassination attempt might be helpful politically. How are they threading that needle at the White House and in the campaign?
Yeah, I mean, Dana, just think about the fact that even as of Saturday afternoon, the president was certainly bracing for a really tough political week ahead. There was no question that there was going to be more Democratic dissent coming his way. There were some advisors, we're told, that were worried that there might be some prominent members of the Democratic Party coming out on the Sunday shows yesterday to publicly call on him to drop out of the race. Today, he was going to have this TV interview with NBC's Lester Holt, where the focus was surely going to be about questions of his age, his fitness to serve, and again, the moment of political peril that he is in. And the moment that those gunshots rang out in Butler, Pennsylvania, so much, of course, was upended for the Biden campaign's part. You know, they appropriately put a pause on their political work, including pausing, as you mentioned, TV ads, outgoing political communications. And we also know that the White House had to postpone the president's trip to Texas. One of the stops was going to be a fundraiser. But notably, what we have also seen is a pause on the Democratic dissent coming the president's way, which until Saturday had really been growing by the day. I mean, keep in mind that even in the hours leading up to that Donald Trump rally, the president was working the phones and having some really tense and tough conversations with Democratic lawmakers that were really questioning the viability of his candidacy. And we have spoken with some Biden allies that are quietly feeling hopeful that perhaps this could be sort of a turning of the page moment for President Biden and the Democratic Party. And the idea is basically that Democrats will see this moment as being so urgently, a moment for the party to really come together that they see this as being even more urgent now as they are seeing Republicans really rallying around former President Donald Trump. But of course, it's really not even been 48 hours yet, Dana. So we'll have to see what kind of tone comes out of the RNC. But again, this is sort of the private and quiet hopes coming out of Democrats that they are hoping that the dissent that we have been seeing come out in such full force, that perhaps that could be quieted because of what happened over the weekend, Dana.
MJ, thank you so much for that reporting. And up next, we are going to come back to you live where we are, the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. And there's a big question hanging out there. Who will be Donald Trump's running mate? The decision could come at any moment now. Don't go away. Welcome back. We could be just moments away from learning who Donald Trump is picking as his running mate. We believe the three finalists are North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, and Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. CNN political director David Chalian is still here. I say we believe because who knows? All we know is that the former president did say today is the day.
Which makes sense since the actual party business that is going to take place on the floor this afternoon is the nomination first for former President Trump to become the Republican nominee officially. And then they need to say a name to place into nomination for the vice presidential nominee who is slated to address this convention on Wednesday
and
night.
And by the way, that the roll call is for former President Trump is going to start like in an hour.
Exactly. So I would imagine we, since former President Trump reportedly did say this is going to be revealed today, and we know that there's this roll call this afternoon. We are within the window of the next hour or so that this name will be revealed, and you know we've had a team of reporters staking out these finalists. Our reporter Aaron Pelish in Cincinnati today was watching J.D. Vance leave his house to go to the airport to come to Milwaukee. Rubio and Burgum already in Milwaukee. And so we have had eyes on these folks. What we don't have is any reporting that the job has actually been offered and accepted.
Not yet. And look, I mean, historically, when there aren't, you know, bonkers other news stories happening in and around a candidate, this is the thing that, you know, gets them into the headlines, that sort of gives them a boost of energy. I have to wonder whether or not the events of Saturday had any bearing on Donald Trump's decision.
He has told us for a long time that his mind was kind of made up on this. I don't know. It was so made up, obviously. It's not like he offered it to someone, Dana. So I don't know. I would be doubtful that Saturday's instincts did that. Remember also, unlike other candidates, Donald Trump is a former president. Usually we get some insight into their decision-making ability when they pick their running mate. That is not the case for this one. We've seen 4 years of him already as president, so it's a different kind of vice presidential pick.
Well, on that note, such a different decision-making process than 8 years ago when I was on the lawn of the governor's mansion in Indiana and he picked Mike Pence. Such different dynamic, obviously. He was trying to appeal to a base that now he has solidified,
without a doubt,
intensely behind him. Thank you, David. Yep. We're not going anywhere. We'll be back in little under an hour for that roll call. Thank you for joining Inside Politics. In the meantime, don't go anywhere. CNN News Central picks it up after a break.
They say opposites attract. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is the best bed for couples. You can each choose what's right for you whenever you like. You like a bed that feels firm, but they want soft? Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler, while they like to feel warm? Sleep Number does that, too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's for both of you, only at a Sleep Number store. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.